All right, welcome back. We are at the Gridiron Pulse episode 21, and I am joined once again by Cole off of vacation. How we doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. You know, vacation's always great, but once again, I'm seeing the videos, I'm seeing the clips of you and Carter. Shout out to Carter, by the way, for filling in whenever we need him.
Big shout out.
He also does all of our thumbnails and stuff, so we definitely appreciate our boy Carter big time.
Sure.
I was just ready to get back, man, and I'm sure, you know, the viewers are all, you know, this dude Jacob, he just clocks in every single day at work, and here I am, you know, showing up whenever I want to. So, but hey, we're getting it ready. It's still the off season for us too, but come football season, we're going to be locked in. It's going to be good, and we are ramping up towards that, but yeah, we definitely got some good stuff to talk about today, I know.
Getting closer every day, dude. Every day, just a little bit closer. I know I always say it to you, but just get me to the release of the video game. That'll hold me off for the next month. Like, that'll be great.
Oh, yeah. And I know, dude, speaking of the video game, we've been talking about our online dynasty that we're going to run, because now that it's finally cross-platform dynasty, me a PS5 guy, you an Xbox guy, we're going to be able to run it. And we're going to be able to see who can run the best program.
Yeah, just kind of a little teaser on that. We're looking to do at least some kind of, whether it be like streaming or recording us with the gameplay with you, me, and Carter and a couple of our other buddies, maybe some siblings thrown in the mix as well. We'll have should have a pretty fun online dynasty segment. So that'll help hold the show over till football season as well. Maybe do like one of those a week, dedicate one of our episodes over to College Football 26, which I am very much looking forward to.
Only thing better than college football is fictional and virtual college football. Let's go, dude.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's keep it on football here real quick. I know it's been about a week since this happened, but our resident Steelers fan is now back. So what are we thinking about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, dude, I'm going to tell you right now. So for context, I was on a cruise and I didn't do the Wi-Fi package. So I literally wasn't able to contact anybody. I unplugged from the universe and was basically off the grid. Sitting in the room and I see on the TV breaking news, Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers. And I'm sitting here, I'm clapping, like, let's go. Like, we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm getting all hyped. Meanwhile, my fiance, who I'm on the trip with, she says, why are you excited? Like, isn't Aaron Rodgers bad now? Oh, my love. Oh, my gosh. How wrong you are, okay? Because I'm going to tell you this right now. Okay, when I say Super Bowl, I'm obviously being dramatic and facetious, but
are you, though?
We'll see. Maybe come game one, whenever we win, we'll want to know, my tone will change a little bit. But so here's the deal. Obviously, yes, Aaron Rodgers, it's very much like the good narrative is that he's washed and that, you know, he's not what he was. What'd you say?
You got the corpse of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, see, well, but here's the thing. The corpse of Aaron Rodgers is better than full strength, pack-a-punched Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Okay. I was sitting here with the mindset that we were going to try out Mason Rudolph for 17 games. Well, there was no way he was going to start 17 games. So I'm like, okay, at this point, let's just start Will Howard. Like, I genuinely didn't know what we were going to do. We were going back to the Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph days, which somehow we would still find a way to make the playoffs. But now it's not even about if we're going to make the playoffs. At least to me, it's going to be all right. I still think the Ravens could probably win this division, so I don't even want to go that far to say, like, could we compete for the division? But I think that with this solidifies something that we absolutely needed, and this revitalizes my hope in this season. Because going into this season, I was going in numb to the mindset of, like, what we're going to do. Like, it was just about potentially tanking or, like, trying to find out our quarterback situation for the next year because, again, Mason Rudolph, it just wasn't going to happen. And, of course, with Aaron Rodgers now, we signed him for $10 million guaranteed. I think $13 million total is the contract total, which, I mean, that's nothing. This is Aaron Rodgers basically saying, like, I want to play for Mike Tomlin. I'm going to give it one last go. And then, I mean, I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers both know, like, hey, this is going to be a one-year thing. We just need to kind of get a filler in here, and then we'll go from there. So, I'm excited about it. It's Aaron Rodgers at the end of the day. I know he's still got some juice in his arm. That locker room, I can tell you, is going to be juiced up and a little bit more, I guess, good vibes are coming. You know, whether that's good vibes from his play well, or maybe he's bringing the ayahuasca and, you know, the good vibes in other ways. Maybe they go on a team retreat to Peru. I don't know.
I don't know if that brings scary vibes.
We are coming in clear eyes, full heart, spiritual beasts into this season. But yeah, overall, that's really my take, is at the end of the day, I think he's still got some juice in him. I mean, he played well down the stretch with the Jets last year, but it just wasn't, it was just the cool thing to say that he's washed because the Jets were terrible. So, you know, again, I'm pretty excited about this because we needed some good vibes, because all it's been is like, what are the Steelers doing at quarterback? Oh, they traded George Pickens. What are we doing? Oh my gosh, we fire Mike Tomlin. Like, start over. It's only been negative vibes, but getting Aaron Rodgers here at least gives us something. So that's kind of where I sit on this.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the George Pickens trade. It doesn't really seem to make sense now that you do have a proven great, at least once great, I still believe he's going to be really good, but once great quarterback in there, like, why wouldn't you want to have someone like George Pickens? Like, all the reports are like, I've seen like Steelers are in on some veteran wide receivers who are holding out of training camp, like Terry McLaurin. It's like, oh, if they only had another great receiver to pair alongside DK Metcalf. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I understand the George Pickens trade like more, because yeah, like you said, I think I even came on this podcast, said like, well, now that we trade George Pickens, it's almost like we have to get Aaron Rodgers, because I mean, it's just simple math. Like, you get rid of a good wide receiver and now like you have Mason Rudolph, you've essentially screwed us. So yeah, I really don't get it. And again, I'm just gonna like trust Mike Tomlin with this. Like, I can guarantee you Mike Tomlin and George Pickens have had like numerous conversations behind closed doors, and like maybe it was a thing where he just wasn't getting it, or again, I don't know. So maybe they have more comp, maybe Roman Wilson, they have confidence in him. Like, he didn't play last year.
he's basically a rookie.
He is, I mean, this is a rookie year, and yeah, I don't know, man. That is funny though. Yeah, it's like, we got to trade for another receiver. Like, yeah,
I mean, y'all have
I
all the draft capital in the world next year in order to do so. I mean, y'all got like five compensatory picks and then several more in the Pickens trade. So, I mean, if a team's looking to get younger and maybe discard someone, like, I mean, the only one I've seen is Terry McLaurin, but I've seen Terry McLaurin quite a bit because he's apparently pretty unhappy with his whole contract situation. So
Well, hey, now that they have
I think
a
you have the
Deebo
ammunition to
Samuel,
do it.
hey, well, you know, Commanders should be good now that they have Deebo Samuel out there running around looking slim and, you know, fast as ever.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've gotten screwed in fantasy football so many times by Deebo Samuel, so I'm officially out on that one. It's not been a good draft pick for me in recent years.
Hey, it's all good, because you know, maybe next year we draft a receiver, and who knows, maybe we get that old guy Zachariah Branch. He enters the draft after this year at Georgia when he pops off, and then we snatch him up in the draft. So
He's going for 1,210 touchdowns. Book it. You heard it
I
here
know.
first.
You know, usually you look at a recruiting class like with it upcoming, like draft eligible, and you're like, oh yeah, like those are several like studs right there, like Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams, like gonna be stud first round draft picks. But then the 2023 class, I look at it, and it's obviously Zachariah Branch number one, which relatively unproven, but like when you hear the rest of these names, you're gonna be like, oh well, like he's better than them. You
Yeah.
got obviously Carnell Tate and Brandon Ennis, who are both at Ohio State, so like,
Yeah.
all right, cool, whatever. But then you have guys like Jalen Hale, Hakeem Williams, Jonte Cook, Jerron Dickey, Aiden Williams, and Mekhi Lemon.
That's weird. That
Guys
is
that
not a
are
good class at all.
It was not. And I guarantee if I pull up the 2024 class immediately, it's like, yeah, I'd take this one over that. So,
Oh yeah.
yeah, I
Yeah,
don't
the
know. Just thought
2024 class is going to be one of the better wide receiver recruiting classes that perform in NFL drafts in a while.
I
Just
know.
the toppers of Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
But
so
yeah,
if you guys
no.
need to be in the wide receiver market, it might be best to go on a short-term free agent deal for now. And then, I mean, regardless, anyone who gets those two guys the next year are going to have to suck really bad.
Yeah.
Like, those are two bona fide top 10 picks right now.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's how it was. Like, I mean, it's rare that you get guys like that. Like, I remember after Brock Bowers' true freshman year, I'm like, he would be the first tight end taken off the board, like in this draft class. You know,
Yep.
like very rarely do you get guys like that. But yeah, like there's a good argument. Like, if Jeremiah Smith was draft eligible after his true freshman year, like he would have been the first one taken, which is
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, I would say. Still definitely a top five pick. I think Ryan Williams would have gone top 10 this past year too. But that's beside the point. It's y'all need some receiver help. You're gonna have to find some ways to do it. I mean, what's his name? I always get him. Oh, Alan Lazard. Bring Cobbie out of retirement again.
Aaron Rodgers indicator. If your team's linked to Alan Lazard, you're probably getting Aaron Rodgers, and it held true.
Yeah. I can see y'all going after Lazard, which is hilarious. I mean, he's just literally following around in the man's shadow.
The Gronk Tom Brady combo, but just a lot less good.
Yeah, a lot less good. All right, let's keep it on the NFL here and kind of keep it in the AFC North as well. This whole Shamar Stewart debacle has been pretty funny to follow. It's to the point where I'm just hoping that he doesn't sign anywhere because, like, we haven't seen that in forever. We hope he doesn't sign with the Bengals because the Bengals are poverty. We don't like them. And it would just be objectively funny. And that whole situation took another step this morning when, so he was at training camp throughout the entire process, like going through meetings, just doing everything except for on-field work. Like he was working out with the team and all that good stuff. And this morning he just left. He woke up. It was one of the first things I saw from Schefter on Twitter. It's like, Shamar Stewart is no longer in attendance for mandatory training camp. I was like, what? It probably stems off of his, he had an interview yesterday where he basically just said, like, I am 100% right. And I shouldn't be treated by this, like this, by the front office. And I hate to say it because I don't like the player, but I kind of agree with him. I mean, just for our viewers listening, he's the first of any kind, a first round draft pick to have some sort of clause or stipulation in his contract to where if he gets hurt before the season starts, it pretty much voids his entire contract. So they wouldn't have to pay him. So from now until what, the first, second week in September, he gets like no guaranteed money, which is just very, very weird. No other player or first round pick has ever had this happen, and no other team does this besides the Bengals. And this is the first year that they're doing it, because I know last year they drafted Amarius Mims from Georgia, and he got a guaranteed contract just like the rest of them without some weird injury clause. So there's some standoff between Shamar Stewart and his agent and the Bengals front office, and it doesn't seem like they're coming to an agreement at all. And it's just funny because this whole draft pick stems off of them not wanting to re-sign Trey Hendrickson, who's one of the best edge rushers in the game right now. And he was essentially drafted to be Trey Hendrickson's replacement. And now his replacement's not even gonna sign, it seems like. I mean, they took a step back yesterday or this morning from him not even being there anymore.
Yeah, it's if you look at the situation at face value, it could be very easy to be like, oh, classic player being entitled, not wanted to practice, like money, money, money. It's very easy to fall into that trap. But like Jacob said, when you look into this and you realize like just what the Bengals are doing here, like I mean, this is the kind of organization they are. Like they are cheap and they try to skimp out on any type of funds they can. I mean, it's the classic Pat McAfee original meme where it's like they don't even have an indoor practice facility. Like they literally have press conferences on those like carts that you roll a TV in for elementary school kids as a podium. Again, like easy things to take jabs at for like, but it's true. And like, so at that micro level, you see that and it's like, oh, that's just them. Like, okay, like, so what? They don't have a podium, but it trickles up to then this type of stuff where A, they don't want to pay Trey Hendrickson, one of the best edge rushers in the league. And then B, they put this weird contract stipulation for, I mean, if you're Shamar Stewart, like, if this was you, you're essentially your agent's basically coming to you saying like, hey, you basically have a clause in your contract that like no one else has ever had that like puts a lot of risk on you, and you basically have, like, no insurance like on your contract at all. Like, you're not signing that. Like, that's bad business for the player, and it's bad business for the Bengals because they're a PR nightmare right now. This is one of the few where I'm like, I see more people on the player's side than the actual team, because usually it's all classic entitled player, but you know, and again, this is crucial because we even said it on our draft episode, Shamar Stewart, he is a project and a guy that is going to need a lot of developing in that aspect because he had 4.5 sacks in 4 years in college. This is sheer projectability, and him missing out on this time is huge. I mean, this is the time where you mold him. And again, say what you want about minicamp and OTAs and how they don't matter, but like for rookies, like this is crucial for them.
You could argue this is the most development that you get throughout a season for rookies, at least. I mean, it's just a very, very weird situation. I found it hilarious that they took a big step back today and he's not even there anymore. It's like, bro, probably flew home to Texas. He's like, I'm done with this.
He was dropping some hard quotes. He was like, y'all trying to win arguments more than games. It's like,
Yeah.
oh.
I know. His interview yesterday was definitely interesting to look at. I agree 100% with the player. He definitely came off a little bit like you don't really want to sound like that in front of a microphone, but I mean, I agree with what he said. It was just how he said it, which is what makes it funnier and why I'm just rooting for chaos for this whole situation. I obviously want the best for the player, Shamar Stewart, but the Bengals can go screw themselves. Like, this is hilarious.
The Browns are clapping because, like, yes, Bengals, take all the headlines and all the media attention because, you know, meanwhile, we have four quarterbacks and still Deshaun Watson, and we're trying to figure this out. So, yeah, good on y'all.
Yeah, even if they don't re-sign Trey Hendrickson or end up signing Shamar Stewart, they can know that they at least probably won't be last in the division.
And I'm wondering, like, was this contract stipulation on, like, all of their draft picks? Like, even, like, their, I mean, you
I don't
wonder
know.
about that because, like, and again, it could be very easy for, like, you know, for the Bengals and just come to them and be like, dude, come on, everyone else has signed the contract. Like, just do it, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it could be very easy, like, fall into that trap, but they're standing 10 toes down on it.
It's both sides seem like they're standing 10 toes down on it and that they're not going to budge, which I think is it's great. I mean, just ultimate chaos. Got no skin in the game whatsoever, but I just think it's funny. I mean, I didn't really like Shamar Stewart at Texas A&M because he was part of that draft class where they just broke the bank and paid everyone a bazillion dollars, and he was one of the ones that actually stayed there. So it's gonna be interesting to see for sure. Is there, you got anything else on that?
No, the only thing I root for in this whole situation is the Bengals' downfall, which seems to be going great. So,
Yeah, and Trey Hendrickson too. I mean, it doesn't look like he's gonna get signed.
and hey, listen, I remember the Bengals go to the Super Bowl under Joe Burrow in the second season, and of course, Bengals fans, like, they're not used to competing or like being in like this spot at all. So they're like, oh, we're just gonna go back, like well, what second year quarter? I'm like, listen. I said that I can't remember like where I said it or something, but I'm like, I would not be surprised if the Bengals don't go back to the Super Bowl like in the Joe Burrow like era, just with the offensive line like, and just like everything the organization like you're having to trust this organization to now like shift its mindset from like we're just trying to save money to like, oh yeah, like we're competing now.
Yeah.
You know what I
It's
mean?
their offensive line had never been that good. They got lucky with good draft picks, and then they had that time period where they were all on rookie contracts, and now they've paid most of them now, so they're a little strapped for cash. And I think that's gonna do it on our football topics. You wanna dive into the NBA finals last night? Did you watch any of that?
So didn't tune in at much, but as true basketball casual fashion, I looked at the box score, so I know everyone's gonna love that. So I at least know of what happened. That Pacer, of course, took a 2-1 lead. Tyrese Halliburton again did his thing, and it's at least the discourse that I'm seeing about this is that people are now shifting from like hating on the Pacers, saying like how this is like worst NBA finals team of all time, like this, that, and the other, to being like, all right, I can't hate anymore, but I'm just genuinely curious like how this team is that good. Because like they pull up their payroll and they're like, they're literally like these guys that are making $2 million a year, like the Benedict Mathurin guys out here, 27 points in 22 minutes, and he's outperforming certain dudes on Thunder that are making like 20, you know?
Yeah.
It just comes down to the Pacers are just they're maximizing the value of the guys that they have on their team, and that you have your star Tyrese Halliburton, and they're again, it's only a 2-1 series lead. There's still a lot of games left to play, but Pacers are continue doing their thing that they've done all playoffs.
Yeah. Mathurin he's super young too. I think he's either a rookie or a second year player, but he's only like 21 or 22 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he had a huge game last night, dude. Was basically automatic. I think he was, what, 9 for 12 from the floor or something like that. And then just everything else last night, it was just kind of a classic Pacers, just like ho-hum, playing along, keeping it close. And then they kind of exploded in the fourth quarter. They ended up winning by like 7. I think I turned it off with like 30 seconds left. They were playing the foul game. But that's pretty handily for a Pacers win, at least in this playoffs. I mean, it wasn't a freaking buzzer beater like game one, which they led for 0.3 seconds of that game, which is just the most ridiculous stat I've ever heard. But yeah, like you said, Halliburton had a great game. It seems like whenever he plays well, the team wins, which I know it's crazy how that happens whenever your star player plays well. There's a stat when Halliburton gets 20 points and 10 assists, the Pacers are like 20-1 throughout the regular season and the postseason. So he got it going pretty early. I think he had 12 or 13 in the first quarter. It was definitely the best like viewership product game of the season or of the NBA Finals so far. It was very entertaining. Back and forth for pretty much the whole game. OKC was leading for most of it yet again, but I saw a stat that the Thunder are like they're plus minus by quarter. They're like plus 23 in the first quarter, like plus 8 or 9 in the second quarter, plus like 13 in the third, and then the Pacers are plus 33 in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, clutch merchants, dude. Just fourth quarter crunch time merchants. So I'll give you a kind of like a synopsis of what me and Carter have talked about on this. So my original prediction for the series was Thunder in 5, which is now dead.
Impossible.
But I've been rooting for the Pacers the entire time. It's the NBA Finals. I want it to go to 7 games because the longer you extend this out, when basketball's over, that means football is going to be that much closer. You know? They can't the dead period without like NBA Finals, Stanley Cup, or like any football is just awful. It is terrible. And Carter said Pacers in 6. So his prediction's looking pretty spot on. I guess I'll give you a 3-game head start. What do you think it's going to be?
So, some reason, I think that the Pacers are going to be leading 2-1. There's something that tells me they're going to be up 2-1
Dude, yeah, I
in
wonder
this series.
only what that could be.
I'm gonna go Thunder in seven.
Ooh.
I think that this goes seven, but I just sheer like probability and mathematics. It's like the Pacers, they rely so much on like fourth quarter heroics that at some point, like the ball just cannot keep bouncing their way. And I think that just like the better team's gonna end up winning in the end. So that's
If I
my
could go
prediction.
back and change my pick, I'd go Pacers in seven. So.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Like, if it goes seven games and it's going back to the Thunder, like their home court, I don't know. We'll see. But that's what I'm hoping for. I'll obviously want seven games.
Yeah, seven games would be, it's just ideal from a viewership perspective. And everyone's talking about like, this is the lowest watch finals since like COVID. Yeah. So, I mean, the ratings were just, it's just because there's two small market teams. But from a viewership perspective, I mean, at least the game three and game one have been two awesome games for viewership product. They had Adam Silver on NBA Countdown yesterday, and he was kind of talking about something like that. But there's definitely still some things that I don't love about it for sure, like not having the finals logos on the court and then trying to do the AI generated finals logos was
Dude,
abysmal. That like
I saw that
happened.
on Sintel, and like I just assumed it was fake because it was from Sintel, but was that real?
Oh yeah, that was real. They had those. They were only on the court for like the first quarter of game two after receiving major backlash on Twitter, which was just hilarious. Just like a the ultimate like band-aid fix for like a pretty big problem. All
Anything
right.
but just like putting the logo in the middle.
I know. It's like, just, it's as simple as that. All right, let's talk about this US Open that we're both halfway watching right now. Rory just saved himself from a huge blow-up hole. Did you see him chunk it into the rough like four times?
Yeah, only making bogey from that spot was huge.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, like when you stood up to go. He just made a 31 footer for bogey. I was like, geez, dude. But I mean, that could have been a bad blow up hole. It's the rough is definitely bad. I don't think it's as difficult as everyone was saying, because that was like the talk of the town all week long. All you could hear about. The greens are so fast. The rough is so thick. The winning score is going to be over par. Like, get out of here, first of all. JJ Spawn is leading right now. He was 4 under through 8, and he's still 4 under through 14. And then there's several people at 2 under, including my boy Siwoo Kim and Ludvig Åberg, which just two of the best names in the sport. And then they got Adam Scott lurking around at 1 under, who is kind of a fan favorite. It's the only golfer I've ever gotten an autograph from, which is kind of a
Oh, you
fact.
have an Adam Scott
Yeah.
auto?
He signed some hat or something that I got from the Open Champion, the, no, not the Open Championship, the PGA Championship when they were at Atlanta Athletic Club in 2012, 2011 or 2012. Yeah, that's cool. And he's got a beautiful swing, so always kind of rooted for him on the side.
Yeah, dude. What was I gonna say? Oh, okay. Yeah, my take about the US Open. It's not really about the US Open, like the tournament itself. It's just, all right. We are done with the social media videos where it's like the guys dropping the ball into the rough before the like 2 days before the event. All right. We get it. It was cool like the first 50 times we've done it, dude. We are done with those videos. We get it. Like the rough is like big.
You shouldn't hit it in there.
Yeah, exactly. Easy coming from us, though. Easy to say coming from us because
Right.
there are times on the tee box where I'm like, I'd be lucky to just be in the rough.
Yep. Very much so.
But yeah, I just wanted to get that off my chest because, like, I see those videos every year and I'm like, we get it. Okay.
Dude, the thing about it is All those videos come out on like Monday or Tuesday this week. They've mowed the rough like six times since then. So it's nowhere near as thick. They had it at like 6 inches or something like that whenever those videos are posted. They mowed it down to like five and a quarter or something like that. So it's thick and you shouldn't hit it there and you shouldn't get rewarded for hitting it in the rough. But it's nowhere near as bad as any one of those videos showed.
So you're going to make a prediction now that the winning score will be under par.
Yeah. It'll be well under par. Will they get to 10? I don't know. But at this pace, JJ Spawn just spawning at minus four under. Like,
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, he's
again.
not a world beater either. I mean, he's had a good season too, but it's not like it's Scotty out there shooting four under right now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think I said this for the PGA Championship. These majors, what I've learned is that you have to take the first two rounds really with a grain of salt because it's going to, I mean, that Vegas guy was leading like three quarters of the way through round three.
Yeah.
All right. I guarantee you, JJ Spawn, he's going to spawn into like tied for 30th pretty quickly. And we're just going to have
I
the
like that.
classic Rory, like Scheffler, maybe type of thing. Maybe DeChambeau is going to climb his way into the top five at some point, too. So, hey, maybe wrong. Maybe Spawn will just, hey, he's spawn camping.
Maybe he'll run away with it, just spawn camping the other players, just sniping them at the first tee box. It's
Yeah.
like Scottie Scheffler died today, or he got arrested again.
I cannot wait to see these guys how they play that long par three, that
I know.
280 or 90 yard par three. That is going to be some interesting stuff. I mean, because everyone's going to take driver.
I think it's hole 16. Yeah, we would absolutely take driver.
Well, I mean, Bryson's probably going to take like a pitching wedge or something and then
Yeah.
get mad. He's like, why didn't that go far? Like the wind, dude.
The wind, dude, it just kicked up right in my face as soon as I hit it. It's like, bro, you're hitting a pitching wedge. I would hit driver and it would be way short.
Yeah,
I
man,
think
I would have to hope
290, I
that.
think it's 293 today.
Gosh. Yeah, because it's like with how fast the greens are too, it's like obviously like the driver, like you can't have any backspin on it, so it's just gonna like kick and like keep going. So like if you land on the, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
You almost just, I don't know. I was gonna say lay up, but like I don't think you can really do that on a if it was a short par four, maybe, but like
Yeah, I saw Morikawa hitting driver from it yesterday, which is pretty funny. There's several people who have and who will continue to hit driver there, which is kind of crazy. I mean, I guess you just got to tee it up really high and just try and land it as soft as you can. But that's definitely longer than the averages of some of these players that are in this tournament shoot or hit driver. But yeah, Rory, after that blow-up hole, he's sitting at. He's tied for eighth right now at even under. Even under. Even par. DeChambeau at plus one. Got a good look at the leaderboard here. Wyndham Clark, even. That's Brian Harman, even. That's pretty much it. That's really all we got here from the US Open. We can go ahead and talk some baseball if you want to do that. Braves finally won themselves a series in Milwaukee. So yesterday was the third game, and we won 6-2. Tuesday, we lost 4-1, and then Monday we won 7-1. So definitely a better series. Yesterday I want to talk about Spencer Schwellenbach went 9 innings, full complete game. 11 strikeouts, by far one of the best outings of his career. I think he threw only like 105 pitches, which is just super efficient. Just add that to the list of things that you'd love to see. And then in the two games that we won, we had him yesterday, obviously, and then Chris Sale threw an absolute gem on Monday. He's returning back to his Cy Young self. I think he had 11 or 12 strikeouts too. I know he had more than 10. I mean, he's been on an absolute tear lately. He hasn't given up more than one run since like the fifth start of the season or something like that. He's been hot.
Oh yeah, and like The best news about this, though, is, of course, yes, winning the series is amazing. We got the Rockies coming up. And I'm
Yes, we
telling
do.
you, I want a sweep. Obviously, that's what you want. We've already lost the Rockies so far this year, but I want this sweep, and I want to keep this momentum rolling because we're 9 games under 500 right now. We have a uphill battle to climb back into this thing, but I mean, you got to love what the pitching's been doing recently. Like you said, Schwellenbach, absolute gem. 9 strikeouts, 5 hits, 2 earned. Lineup doing its thing. And so when it comes to like all-star voting and like being an all-star,
Acuna is an all-star.
yes, he is. But is there like a actual like metric of you have to have this many at bats to qualify for an all-star game or something? Or like is he
Nope.
gonna have well be within that? Because
A
I
lot of
mean,
it relies on the fan vote, honestly. So that's how they do a lot of it. But I saw a graphic in 2022 after he had come back from his first ACL. He already has better stats this year than what he did in like 200 or something at bats. Like he has more home runs, he has more RBIs, he has a higher OPS, a way higher batting average, and he was a main part why we won that series this past series against the Brewers. He had 2 home runs. He had one in each of the games that we won. I think he had several hits in the game that we lost. I mean, he's just an absolute tank. He is. I've said it before and I'll say it again. When healthy, he is the best player in baseball. I don't think it's particularly close. Like, it's just unreal what he's able to do. And if you take his defense in the field as well, I mean, he throws 105 mile per hour balls to the infield for fun. He's already has, I think, 3 or 4 outfield assists so far since he's been back in 16 games, I think it is. 6 home runs. We got 20 something RBIs already. I mean, dude's just an absolute animal. His OPS is almost 1100. It's up to like 10 something something. But he's the definition of an all-star, especially since the game is in Atlanta. I think it's going to be him, Sale, and maybe Schwellenbach. But I think him and Sale get in for sure.
yeah, so what you just said right there, like when healthy, he's the best by far. So even like, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, dude. Like
Yep.
I'm big Acuña guy too, but
He's a
bro, Aaron Judge
five-tool player. Those don't
yeah.
qualify for a five-tool player. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is DH only, doesn't play defense. Aaron Judge is a liability on defense, and he's slow. All he does is hit for power and hit home runs. And
And
I
average.
mean, you can make an argument for Shohei Ohtani. Sure, I get it. I mean, he's big, fast, strong, especially when he's pitching. He's probably the best, but he hasn't pitched in a year and a half now. So, when healthy, I don't think you can combat Ronald Acuna. I mean, he bats leadoff, he can steal bases when healthy. I know he's not necessarily doing that right now, just keeping it on the cautious side from the knee injury, obviously, but he's unreal, dude. It's a joy to watch play. I only watched that series to watch him play, and it paid off.
Oh yeah, no, I'm telling you, dude. It's like I remember like our parents, like at least my dad growing up, he's like, man, you should have seen Dale Murphy play. I'm like, listen, no disrespect to Dale Murphy, but are you gonna be telling our kids you should have watched freaking Ronald Acuña Jr. play baseball? Like that's
Yes.
dude. Oh man. It's
Extend him, make him a Brave for life. Don't give him the option to wear another jersey ever in his entire career.
telling you.
He's the best player I've ever seen play in person with my own
Yeah.
two eyes. I'm
Oh
very
yeah.
lucky. That's really all we got here on the Braves. We've got a series coming up against the Rockies. We got some pitching matchups here. The series starts tomorrow, so it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We got Bryce Elder going on Friday against Herman Marquez. Bryce Elder
Coming off 11 strikeout game.
has been awesome lately. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth. But his ERA is down to 4.08, which is great because it started at like 7. So speaking of a 7 ERA, Herman Marquez is 2-8 with a 7 flat ERA. On Saturday, we got Chase Dolander versus Spencer Strider, who has looked better recently. Has he been great? No. He's 0-5 with a 5.40 ERA, and he's struggling with velocity issues. So, I mean, his fastball is averaging like 94 now, and he's never been like a super strong command pitcher. So he's occasionally throwing 94 right down the gut, and it just gets absolutely murdered. But we gotta hope that the Rockies don't do that to us, and Strider can work on his command. And eventually, if his velocity gets back, I mean, he's already back to a top five pitcher in the MLB. And we're back to a top one pitching staff, at least in terms of starters. But it's not. So he's been a work in progress for sure. And then Sunday, we got Chris Sale going against Palmquist,
Palmquist.
whoever that is. He's got a 7.77 ERA. So we're not facing a pitcher with lower than a 6.5 ERA. I'm sure we're going to make one of them look like a Cy Young candidate. At least one. Do I think we're going to sweep? Yes. Is it likely? No. I think we take two out of three, which is good, but not great. I would love to get on a little four-game winning streak after this series.
Have you seen the Twitter post where it showed every MLB team what they lead the league in?
Yes.
Do you remember what the Rockies was? So I
No,
remember.
I remember what ours was.
Yeah, defensive runs saved, whatever. Yeah, for the Rockies, theirs was most triples. So fun fact, they lead the league in triples, which
Did you
Coors
see
Field is
the
very
Orioles
triple.
one was like average heaviest team? It's like a bunch of great stats going on for all the teams. It's like the Orioles are fat.
Yeah, quite. I'm like, dude, the Orioles have to lead in something other than that, dude. Like, that guy's got to be like an Ori. I don't know.
I mean, they're bad this year.
Yeah. Somehow, dude, I thought like their farm system was going for the longest time. And like, it looked like they were just going to take off.
Yeah, I mean, it still looks like they should be good on paper, but their pitching just hasn't been there. It's been bad. All right, you want to go ahead and switch over to some last topics that we have are some Georgia commits and recruitment shutting down. And then next best targets is what I have here.
Yeah, we can go ahead.
Let's
Guess we
do
go
it.
ahead and just hit on what you said, the recruitment shutting down. So, I mean, this is like the new trend, I guess. Like, guy commits, but then there's almost like a recommitment of like, all right, like now I'm serious, you know,
Yeah, it's
type
like when
of
they
thing.
canceled all their official visits, all
Yeah.
their other OVs, which is nice, and they get a nice whole new Hayes Fawcett edit for it.
With a
Justice
bunch of
Fitzpatrick
locks in the
cancels
background.
Ohio State visit, officially shuts down recruitment. Georgia's on a heater right now.
Yep. Can't forget all the locks in the background of the graphic. It's like,
Yep.
oh yeah, that's it. No, but it was wide receiver is the Brady Marchese?
Marchese.
Marchese shut his down. Then there was a safety, I believe, and then a
It was
somebody else.
Justice Fitzpatrick.
Yep, Justice Fitzpatrick, cornerback. So yeah, I mean, it's new recruiting momentum right there, at least.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then of course we added some other guys, the Zaki Helton. Let's see here, who else we got? Carter Lucky from Norcross,
Yep.
legacy UGA guy.
Who's the punter?
Wade Register
Oh yeah. We
from
had
Dublin. Oh, from Dublin, Georgia. Okay, I thought he was.
don't think they talk like that in Dublin,
They don't
Georgia.
sound like that in Dublin, Georgia. I just assumed punter from a foreign country and I saw Dublin, so that's all me.
Had a funny name too, Wade Register. We gotta conjure up some type of
Oh, dude.
like cash register, something like that.
Yeah, like there's gonna be some announcer that makes some cheesy like register pun
Yeah.
whenever he's punning for us later down the line.
Yeah,
So yeah,
hopefully he turns out just like another Brett Thorson, which would be great. I mean, he's obviously not Australian. He's not gonna have the aura of Brett
that's
Thorson, but he's got a
but yeah,
funny
no.
name.
Yeah, good amount of commits here that we've had recently, and this is about the time where the commits start popping off. Summertime leading into kids' senior years, so loving it so far. So, what about in terms of what's next for us? Because I know we have another few targets on our
Yeah.
board. Kind of, what do we have looking there?
There's a big list of visits this weekend, headlined by Derek Cooper, number one athlete in the country, but we aren't too certain about that one. We got a couple other running backs as well. Xavier Crowell was on a visit last weekend, I believe. Would love to have him, either one of him, Savion Hyder, or Derek Cooper. Just get one, please. It doesn't look like at this time we're going to get any of them. If we do get one, it might be Savion Hyder. I don't know. I know Xavier Crowell seems to be a Bama-ish lock of some sorts, but it would be great to have one of them for sure. I mean, Sadarian Morgan would be awesome to have. Kaden Prothro is one of my favorite prospects in this class. He's kind of a tight end built like a wide receiver. Just thinking of like shorter and nah, that's not a great comp. I was gonna say shorter and skinnier Elias Williams, but that's, I mean, he's like 6'5", 245, runs like a deer tight end. 5-star. But he was born and raised an Alabama fan, which is kind of concerning. Although he's from Georgia, but he's from the one of the areas that's super close to Alabama. But yeah, those would be some of my high priority targets for sure. Just get one of those big guys. I think they're all 5-stars. All three of the running backs are 5-stars. Sadarian Morgan's a 5-star. Kaden Prothro is a 5-star. Bring them
Oh yeah,
home.
no. No, yeah, for sure. And of course, I'm going to throw this guy in the mix, which I mean, everyone knows Tyler Atkinson, the linebacker from Grayson. His recruitment's kind of seemingly coming down to really four schools, I think, are really the main ones. It's obviously Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oregon. I think those are kind of going to be the four. And there seems to, I mean, he's still crystal balled to Georgia. On three predictions, still has Georgia as the lean here. I mean, it just comes down to like if you're a defensive player in the state of Georgia and Georgia really wants you, like that, we tend to land those guys, especially on the defensive side of the football.
Especially at linebacker.
Especially at linebacker. So yeah, it's just gonna come down to, yeah, I mean, he's visited Georgia 20 plus times over the course of his high school career, and he's on the list of visitors this weekend, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, so I really want this guy, but again, you never know what can happen. And people forget that we also have the number one linebacker in the 2025 class that committed last year. Now, again, I would say Tyler Atkins is probably a better prospect than Zayden Walker, but still, linebacker is not the room right now where I'm like, oh, like we need more guys. Like, of
Yeah.
course, we're going to still take him because he's that good of a player, but I'm not too worried about that aspect. And then another guy that we are hosting this week, I believe he's on the visit. Is it Kamari Brooks? Is he on the list too? Or is he,
Yep.
yeah. Kamari Brooks, edge rusher
It's either
from
this
North.
weekend or next weekend.
Yeah, one of those two. He is an edge rusher from North Oconee. And if you guys don't know, North Oconee is literally probably like 20 minutes away from the University of Georgia.
Yep.
Everything that we see and that we hear, we're pretty confident in this one and us landing him. I believe, I don't know if he set a commitment date or he just dropped his top two. I know the top two are Alabama and Georgia. I
Yep,
don't.
he went from 4-2 yesterday, and he canceled his other OVs.
I think I saw something where he is aiming for a mid-June commitment. So, I mean, that could be any week now. So, I'd
Yeah.
say Georgia should feel pretty good about this one.
I feel pretty good about that one, too. I wish I felt better about Tyler Atkinson, but I don't. I don't know, man. That one's gonna be weird. I don't really feel great about any of those guys that I listed, but I think we got to get at least one of them. We got to get one of the running backs and then another pass catcher. I mean, you have to think Jared Curtis has some kind of pull as a number one quarterback in the country in landing pass or pass catchers. All right.
Yeah, I don't know, like, other pass catching options that we have, like, because I mean we landed a bunch of like receiving weapons in this pass class, so I mean, yeah, we're gonna see on that aspect. And then obviously we have Ryan Mosley, who committed a week or so ago, so there's that. And then yeah, we'll see what happens with the Morgan kid,
And the Marchese.
Marchese.
And Vance Spafford, I believe, is still committed, but it seems like he's going to be a UFC pull.
It's tough with a guy like that, like all the way out there in California, when if USC like kind of hones in on you, because I mean, we'll see about that one. But yeah, everything that we've kind of heard is that we're not all too confident that one's sticking, probably. So I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, I do like what we have in Ryan Mosley though. Dude is he's massive. He's like seems to be that classic what our receiver room looks right now. Like we went through a huge overhaul from last year to this year. I mean, it's like you gotta have a minimum height requirement of 6'2", 215 pounds to play receiver for us now, which is great. I love that. It fits Gunnar's play style better. And you can just kind of huck deep balls and see what happens. Give my guy a chance, throw up a 50-50 ball. It's nice when there's 75-25 balls instead of 50-50.
Exactly. And we're going to be seeing a lot of that this year. A lot of 70-30 balls.
Yeah, I agree. That's really all we got for the episode today. Got anything else you want to hit on?
No, not really. Just kind of, once again, football season's creeping closer and closer. The video game's coming, so that'll at least help us tide us over. But yeah, man, good stuff. And it's recruiting season, so we're
Yeah.
gonna get some good amount of commits here, and the dominoes are gonna start falling here in the next month or two.
Looking forward to breaking it down with you, brother. It's going to be it for episode 21 of the Gridiron Pulse. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, talk to us on social media, share our posts, and we'll see you guys next time.